Eye on the Arctic, views from the north, I'm Elish Quinn. Well, shipping in the Arctic is no easy task. Distances from southern Canada are long, and trips can be slow going, navigating through hazardous ice, even up to 1.5 meters thick. But one Montreal-based company, called FedNav, thinks they found a way to make the going a little bit easier by using drones. Yes, drones, on their journeys to and from Canada's high Arctic. And joining me now to tell us more is FedNav's Senior Vice President, Tom Patterson. Tom Patterson, hello.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for calling.
Well, thank you so much for making the time to speak with us about this very unique topic. And before we get to this new technology that you're using, let's set the scene for our listeners a little bit. Tell us a bit about your operations and the challenges your captains face when they're navigating these massive ships to and from the Arctic.
Yes, thank you. Well, FedNav is a privately owned company based here in Montreal, and we operate a fleet of around 85 ships. And a lot of these ships are ice-class vessels, and some of them are polar-class vessels. We actually have the largest ice-class fleet in the world, and we have the three largest ice-breaking bulk carriers in the world. And the largest polar-class ships, they trade up into the Canadian Arctic all year round, without the traditional icebreaker ahead of them. So essentially these ships are built, designed and built as their own icebreaker, and they're able to carry cargo to and from the northern mines in Canada. So what we're doing at the moment is we ship all the requirements to the mine, and that includes the reagents for the mine and the food that they require, the trucks that they require, and then including the fuel that they require for energy, as there are no hydro stations that far north. And on the southerly journey back to Quebec City, where we bring the cargo, we load around 30,000 tons of nickel and copper concentrates. So why do we do it in the winter, you may ask? Well, the value of the cargo is extremely high. Therefore, it's important for our customers, the mining companies, to ship on an all-year-round basis. And that's why we go through the hostile conditions of the heavy ice in the Arctic to bring this very high-valued cargo to the market.
And so just before this new technology that you started using, tell us how you do it in these harsh winter conditions. What are captains doing to make their way to and from the Arctic?
Well, yes, good question. First of all, these ships are specially designed. They've got very, very heavy strengthening. They've got in the steel side, they've also got specially designed bows to break through the ice and a very, very large engine. Just to give you some idea of magnitude, the standard ship that you see going up and down the river, the St. Lawrence River, about 30,000 tons, will have about a 6,000 horsepower engine. And these ships have 30,000 horsepower engines. So they're very, very large power supply to smash through the ice. And that's the first key. The second thing is, of course, we have very highly trained Canadian captains and officers on our ships. And over the years, we've specialized in that and specialized in training them to the highest degree. And some of the techniques we use to go through the heaviest ice, other than just the sheer power, is to be able to spot where the weakest points of the ice are. And how we do that today is by using satellite imagery. We essentially book a time through the satellite to take an image from space, and we take that photograph here, it arrives in our office, and within 2 hours we can transmit it back to the ship to give the master of the ship an aerial view from space as to where the ice ahead of him, what it looks like. And on top of that, of course, we've got fairly good and sophisticated radars, although radars don't really detect ice very well, even today, so that we do rely on ice images that we obtain from the Canadian Ice Center, as well as our own group here called Enfotec. And we have developed our own in-house ice nav system, which is an ice navigation software system that we actually now have on a PC-based system on our ship. And without, I think everyone who's used it would say the same. It is for sure the best ice navigation tool in the world, developed here in Canada.
So with all these tools that you have at your disposal, how did drones get into the conversation?
Well, last year we were talking about various things and what we could do next to try and make it easier. And if you think about these ships, the cost, especially the fuel cost and the operating and the capital cost, is very intensive. So you're looking at somewhere between $70,000 and $100,000 a day to run these vessels. So if we can save a day of sailing, it's very significant. And of course, new technology has paid off very quickly. So the idea of the drones came along. You know, of course, we all see these the small drones on the television. We see that they can go up and take lots of great footage. So the idea is, well, why don't we take them on the ship and put them up into the Arctic and see if they can give us some good technology and good viewing ahead. The old days, and still today, the Canadian Coast Guard use helicopters to go ahead of the icebreakers to spot where the open water leads are. Well, I'm afraid we don't have that budget because helicopters are very expensive. So we took the drone company with us with two or three drones, and we experimented by taking the drone up 400 or 500 feet above the bridge of the wheelhouse of the ship. And the view, of course, is incredible, just like sitting here in my office in Montreal. We're about 300 feet, and we get a bird's-eye view all the way down the river. A standard ship is only maybe 20 meters above the water, but to take it up to 200 meters and have a camera fitted on the drone with a high resolution and a TV monitor in the wheelhouse of the ship, the captain can look at the TV image, and it gives him live footage of what's ahead of him. It's fantastic.
And the sort of experience that your crew had as you took this out for the first time, what sort of feedback did you have?
Oh, the captains and the crew, the officers are quite excited about this. First of all, it gives them effectively their own little portable helicopter, which has always been something that the captain of an ice-breaking ship would love to have. And secondly, if it can make their job easier in the sense of getting from A to B quicker, everyone's happy because the whole operation becomes more efficient. And for FedNav, we feel it's important to keep at that high end of technology. The world is a changing place, and we need to keep up to date all the time. And the more tools that we can give our very experienced captains, the better the operation will be. And if we can save money and save fuel, it helps everything. It helps the environment, it helps our customers, and it will gradually help everyone, and we develop more business in the north in Canada. I believe that there's so many wonderful mining projects in Canada that are still there to be developed, and if we can do it cheaper and more in line with regular shipping, then these mines will be more tempted to open.
And were there any challenges or downsides when you started integrating this into your operations? You know, do the drones function well when it's minus 30 or minus 40 in the north?
We actually, the good question again, the temperature wasn't an issue. They've been using these drones down in Quebec and Quebec City, this company, for quite some time. So the temperature at minus 30, minus 40 was not an issue. As this was the inaugural voyage, of course, we did some experimenting, taking one drone up, filming the second one to see if it was having any issues. We didn't.
So the drones were monitoring the drones.
Well, yeah, at some point, yes. Of course, one of the things was to make sure you get good footage so that we can promote it to people like yourself, and you can actually see a photograph of a ship with a drone ahead of it. So, of course, you need another drone to do that. And it was quite challenging for the film crew as well as the drone pilots, but they actually loved the experience because they had never seen a ship going through that type of ice. And, you know, going into the Voisey Bay mine, we go through about 40 feet thick ice. And with the level ice at about 6 feet thick, it's quite an awesome experience for a layperson to witness.
And Tom Patterson, what's next? Where do you go from here?
Well, I think what's next is we'll do it again in the next in the springtime. Well, there's the springtime in the north, which is June. Although I'm not sure here in Montreal, springtime's not quite here yet either. But we will take the drones up again. And see what other applications that we can do. I think that there are some amazing applications that we've seen from the footage. Some of them we're not ready to share yet because maybe we want to patent a couple of them. But there's definitely a use there, I believe, for other companies, also for the Canadian Coast Guard. I think the Canadian Coast Guard could benefit from this greatly, and we'd be happy to share that with them, and we will in time. Instead of using helicopters, they could perhaps use drones, and that, of course, will save a lot of money. From an ice-breaking point of view, are we ready to deploy these in, the Gulf of St. Lawrence? No. There's not really a great benefit to doing that because you have to follow certain routes. But in the Arctic, I think there is a massive benefit going forward, so that we can perhaps take a longer route, but it would actually be quicker in time simply by having that better reconnaissance. So the reconnaissance data will be very useful for us going forward.
Well, Tom Patterson, thank you so much for joining us this morning to tell us all about it.
You're very welcome.